You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by ProncPops.wordpress.com and KDUX webradio.wordpress.com. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas. We're the voice of Richland College. My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. Welcome to the Pronk Pop Show. This is the Tuesday edition. Just a heads up, we most likely will have a show tomorrow. The studio will be closing around 2, and I'm going to try to get in here early. It looks like there's some open slots. So I'll try to prepare a show and give it tomorrow morning instead of late afternoon. Usually I give the show 4, 5, or 6 o'clock, depending on the open availability of the studio. And before I forget, I want to wish you all a happy Thanksgiving. And for the students of Richland College, catch up on your sleep, prepare the papers that summer due, as well as read the course material, because we only have less than 3 weeks before final exams. And I hope you all do well on both the papers that are coming due as well as your final exams. And eat a lot of turkey and give a hug to your parents. Now, I wanted to talk today on two breaking news stories that I learned when I woke up. I listened to talk radio, I listened to the news, and they were on all the stations. And the big story, actually they were both stories were on the newscast, and they're definitely being talked about on talk radio, and I'm going to talk about it because I warned people way back in March. I predicted Donald Trump would not only get the nomination but would win the election, but I said I can't vote for him. Now, why did I say that? I'm not a Democrat or Republican, but one of the issues, it's not even an issue. I said before you consider the candidates' positions on a number of issues, you need to address one key thing. Can you trust this person? Now, that question can be asked several ways. Is this person honest? Is this a person of integrity? Does the person have character? And if that answer to that is a resounding yes, then you can have confidence in them. But one of the problem with both candidates is a history of, let's say, changing their position. Now, let me quick to point out, and this is a pattern with politicians. I believe if there's some new evidence, and I would say rather persuasive and even overwhelming evidence, that you were wrong, that you've made a mistake, and you reconsider it, in other words, you change your mind, yes, the only logical, rational, reasonable thing to do is change your position. So I'm not against politicians or anyone else changing their position. I do it, not that often, but I do it because I get new insights, some might say wisdom, that I made a mistake, I misjudged. And then it's advisable, once that happens, to make it known. In other words, admit, I made a mistake. My bad, I made a mistake. Now, what's very hard for many people is to admit they've made mistakes. I think that is unfortunate, but it's true. It's human nature. No one likes to admit that they were wrong or made a mistake. But it happens every day. I mean, the same thing with lying. No one wants to admit they're a liar, yet almost every human being on this planet has lied, usually repeatedly. But the question is it a pattern of lying, or are these white lies, you don't want to offend somebody, or is it, some would describe as pathological, habitual, chronic, different ways to describe it, but have a pattern of lying to people. Now, I've made it clear that when you're looking at political candidates, Doesn't matter the Democrat, Republican, or any other party. You need to address the character issue first. Can you trust the person? Now, I quickly determined I can't trust Hillary Clinton. And it's not just me. It's Republicans, Democrats, across the board. She has a long history of not telling the truth. And I suspect that it started in childhood, and usually that's where it's traced back. It was a defense against usually abuse, verbal abuse. But that's speculation on my part. It doesn't matter. She has a long record of being caught in lies. She's a bold-faced liar, and she lies even when she doesn't need to lie. That's how I would say pathological it is. And I think that cost her the election because people said, I can't trust this woman. And many were Democrats. Let me point that out. Many that would like to vote for her simply said, I can't. Doesn't mean they voted for Trump, but I'm saying many, especially during the primaries, voted for Bernie. Integrity, honesty, character matters. It matters a lot to law-abiding Americans. Now, there's some people that don't care. If a person is right on one or two issues, what I call make-or-break issues, deal-breakers, fine with them, even if they're lack character. See, politicians have a, call it an occupational hazard, that they, a moral hazard. They tell audience what they want to hear. Now, at one time, you could get away with that. And some would say you could still get away with it. And I won't argue that. You can. But politicians will tailor their message to who they're speaking to. And Hillary Clinton, there was part of the WikiLeaks, it was clear that she would tell the public one view, but in private, to the owner-donor class that make big campaign contributions, what her real opinion is. Now, I would quickly say, if that's what she's doing, do you really know that's her true colors or real opinion? That's disturbing in and of itself. And it just confirms the pattern of lying to the American people over many, many years. It's not new. It's not a revelation, but it's important. Now, I'm leading up to something, and this is the breaking story. Donald Trump, he's made a statement that he's not going to pursue the investigation against Hillary Clinton. Well, there's a problem with that. It's more than a problem. Now, some of you are going to say, oh, he's just want to unify the country. And his spokesman said, well, it's a new tone. Excuse me. Hillary Clinton broke the law hundreds, if not thousands of times. The federal law, serious violations of federal statutes. I'm talking about the emails. And Trump said, when I'm elected president, I will instruct my attorney general to investigate what Hillary Clinton has been doing. And I call for an independent special prosecutor. Well, that's now what? Not operative? We weren't supposed to believe it? I don't know who got to Donald Trump or how they got to Donald Trump, but somebody got to Donald Trump. Because I'll tell you something, Mr. Trump, your supporters, not me, I didn't vote for you. Your supporters are not going to be very happy with this. And that's the majority of the American people. Why? There's one law in this land. There's not one law for the American people and then a separate law for the protected class, the elites. This smacks of hypocrisy. And you haven't even taken the oath of office. And you're going back on your promises. You're flip-flopping. You're beginning to sound like Mitt Romney. Someone got to him, probably his kids or his son-in-law. Wouldn't this be a nice Thanksgiving gift to the Clintons? They're not bad people. No, they're not bad people. They just broke the law repeatedly. What's going on here? The American people would like an explanation, Mr. Trump, because many people that voted for you voted because they thought you were going to enforce the law. And now that's not operative. This is almost Nixonian. The statement is not inoperative. Like I said, you can change your mind, but you don't have your attorney general in place. You haven't really looked at the evidence because you're not privy to the evidence. And you're already making your mind up that you won't pursue the investigation? Something stinks here, and it stinks to high heaven, and it's not sitting well with many of Trump's supporters. Now, I warned everybody that be very careful, because I didn't trust at all Hillary Clinton, I didn't trust Donald Trump. And this might surprise some of you that haven't listened closely. I have several hot-button issues, three in particular. Number one, I'm definitely pro-life. If you're pro-abortion, Planned Parenthood, I'll never vote for you. As far as I'm concerned, you're baby killers. And I had reservations about Trump, but he did change his position. At one time, he was pro-choice, pro-abortion, and now he's pro-life. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. Maybe he's changed his mind on this. I don't know. Then I very much want immigration law enforced, because both political parties, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party, have sold out the American people. The American people, and I mean all Democrats and Republicans, and there have been repeated polls on this, they're for legal immigration. And so am I. I'm no different than the average American. I support legal immigration. The only debate in the legal immigration area is how many per year. And there is a range of how many legal immigrants should be admitted to the country every year. Some, not me, but some want zero. Currently, it's at a little over a million. But the owner-donor class, your billionaires, millionaires that own the large corporations, they want to increase it first to 2 million, then 3 million. In other words, make all the illegal aliens that are here legal. That's the approach they would like, but they don't really care. If they get here and they're illegal, there are businesses across this nation that will hire them. And that's the primary reason people come here. They want a job, they want to improve their standard of living, and many of them want to send money back to wherever they're from to take care of their families. That's all understandable, but what's important is if you come here illegally, you're breaking many laws, and I'll get into that in a minute. So if you... There have been polls of the American people. They support legal immigration, and by large majorities, and it varies depending on how the question is asked, but there have been poll after poll after poll, anywhere from 2/3 to 3/4, some cases 4/5, 80%. Say somewhere between 70 and 80% of the American people want illegal immigration stopped. And the reason is very clear. It is a direct threat to jobs for American citizens because we haven't had a few. What's different about immigration for the last 15 to 20 years is the sheer numbers. No one knows the exact number. But if you talk to U.S. Border Patrol, for every one they apprehend, and that's the technical term, they detain, they catch. Think of it as that way. For every one they detach, they will tell you a minimum of three get away. And prior to the Obama administration, while the numbers do vary from year to year, which is to be expected, it's not a constant number, the average is around a million apprehensions. So you do the math. If they're apprehending million per year and three for every one get away, in other words, 3 million per year have been entering the United States. And I'm talking across the U.S.-Mexican border, and that's only part of the problem because you have people flying into the United States on visas as students, businessmen, tourists that overstay their visa and stay here permanently. And that's estimated anywhere to 1/3 to 40%, some say higher. So you got two parts of the problem, and my point is at least 3 million per year. Some go home, and many don't want to become citizens. That needs to be said. And even when we had legal immigration prior in past decades, 30-35% would go home. They were homesick. They couldn't, if you will, assimilate. They couldn't learn the language, couldn't get a job, so they went home. And that still continues. Many of the people that are here illegally go home. Not everyone. So you're looking at least 3 to 4 million a year, of which one goes home. And this has been going on for 15 to 20 years. That gives you, if you do the math, anywhere from 30 to 50 million illegal aliens that are here. No one knows the number. The people in the best position to know the number is the United States government, but they're not talking. And be very, very careful about the U.S. Census Bureau. They grossly understate the number of foreigners that are here or aliens that are here. Don't believe the 11 or 12 million number, whether it comes from the Pew Research Center or which in turn comes from the U.S. Census Bureau. There are different ways to get at that number. One is remittances, sending money home. Now, the government has a long history, not only in this area and other areas, minimizing the problem. And they are minimizing the problem. I'd be the first to say I don't know what the number is, not in a position to, but I know what it isn't. It isn't 12 million. It's 30 to 50 million. Now we have a definitional problem. Donald Trump is being a little too cute by half. He says, well, I want to deport the criminal illegal aliens. And that's the term he used, criminal illegal alien. Well, I've been using that term, criminal illegal alien. because it is a crime, first of all, to not present your papers for inspection at a point of entry when you come to the United States. And if you don't do that, you're breaking into the country. That's a misdemeanor the first time. Second thing they do, they want to work here, so they buy fraudulent papers, primarily Social Security cards, driver's license, birth certificates, anything that they can use to do what? Gain employment. And that, by the way, is a felony. The second crime they commit is they work here illegally. They don't have legal status to work here. They don't have what's called a work permit. It looks like a driver's license, an employment authorization card. Nor, for that matter, nor do they have what's called a green card, a permanent legal residence card. They look like driver's license. They have pictures. They have, you know, information, descriptions, as well as when it expires. Now, I'm telling you this because every illegal alien here has committed several crimes. They're all criminal illegal aliens. Now, what Mr. Trump is trying to be a little cute about, he's trying to fool the people, but he's not fooling the people that know better. Well, I'm talking felons, the people that have committed murder, assault, rape, and I'm going to deport them. Nobody that I know, well, I take that back. The majority of American people, please do, because what's been happening in the Obama administration, they're not deporting them. And I'm talking people with long felony records. They're letting them out on the street. The American people don't support that. So it's not hard for Mr. Trump to say that, well, I'm going to deport criminal illegal aliens. Well, if you are, initially he said a little over 3 million. Now he's reduced it, I think, to 2 million plus. If it's somewhere between 30 and 50 million, it's probably about 5% or less of those. Okay? So 2 million is probably not a bad number, but who knows? And that's the problem. We don't know. We get news reports periodically of thousands being let go to be on the street in the Obama administration that have records. Now, many of them that have records, it's from a foreign country, but many of them, let's face it, if they were engaged in criminal activity wherever they came from, there is a high probability they'll do the same thing here. In addition, you have people that drive without a license and have accidents and kill people, injure people. That happens all the time. I've seen one with my own eyes here in Texas many years ago. And yes, they were Mexicans. Because they spoke, didn't speak Mexican, they speak Spanish. And they took off after broadsiding someone at a traffic light. They ran a traffic light. Fortunately, I looked both ways, and glad I did, or it would have been my car. Now, I'm bringing up the criminal illegal alien definition because my question to Mr. Trump is, what's next? If you're not going to prosecute or investigate Hillary Clinton for her crimes, are you going to not enforce immigration law? See, by his statements, he's being misleading. Now, some would say that's lying. Coming close to it, and you can't say he didn't warn you because he made this statement during one of the debates, and I pointed this out on a couple of programs. Oh, yes, they all have to go back to their country. He didn't say country or wherever they came from. Most come from Mexico or Central America. But we have literally dozens of countries. Because it's not just crossing the U.S.-Mexican border. Many are flying in from country after country after country. And they start out being students. We have a lot of international students. We don't call them foreigners. International students here. And many go home, but many stay. Or many leave to a four-year college, and then they stay. Or they come here in business, they like it, and they open their business here. Now, what's going on? And what is my concern? If Donald Trump can break a promise that repeatedly he said that he wanted, going to instruct his attorney general to appoint an independent special prosecutor to investigate the situation. I'm all for that because what's not understood, I understand it, but most people don't. The FBI cannot convene a grand jury. And you need a grand jury for what reason? To compel testimony, to provide evidence, subpoena people. And that's where the FBI was stopped. By the Department of Justice. They did not convene a grand jury, although they had several going on. In other words, Hillary Clinton was being protected by Attorney General Loretta Lynch, President of the United States, and the people underneath them that the prosecutor, attorney that normally would go to a grand jury, present the evidence, request subpoenas, and compel testimony from witnesses. That wasn't done. That's a very powerful tool. And if you're serious about any prosecution, that's how it's done. Talk to any prosecutor. They will tell you that. And it wasn't done. And it wasn't going to be done. The FBI director didn't do the right thing. He actually did the wrong thing, but it worked out. And I've played this clip, but I'm not playing it again. It's about 17 minutes of Comey detailing all the evidence. And if you listen to it, he's going to recommend a criminal. He can't indict her, by the way. He's going to recommend a criminal referral to the Justice Department to pursue a prosecution. Well, he didn't do that. He made up some law that there's a standard that we have to prove intention. Now, in many cases, you do have to do that, except when we're talking classified information and your mishandling of it. Intention is not a requirement. It's not an element. You didn't have to improve intention. And a number of people have pointed this out. Now, I'm not going to go over that, but I'm fully convinced that the FBI has tons of evidence. And what they need is an attorney general to pursue this and call for a grand jury, present the evidence, and then go after the witnesses, compel testimony. Apparently, Mr. Trump doesn't want a special prosecutor, or independent special prosecutor. Somebody got to him. Somebody convinced him. Or maybe he just was lying to us all along, Mr. Trump. Were you? You know, Mr. Trump went on and on, lie after lie after lie after lie. Well, I agree. He's talking about Hillary Clinton then. But is this the first lie, Mr. Trump, of many more to come? A broken campaign promises? Oh, I know you invited the Clintons to your wedding and they showed up. And Bill Clinton, at least years ago, I don't know if he still has membership in one of your golf courses, clubs in New Jersey. I would have thought by now they canceled it, but I don't know. What's going on? You see, I'm not taking this pre-Thanksgiving announcement that this is a new tone. We want to unify the nation. We want to put this behind us. What about the law, Mr. Trump? Are you going to enforce the law? You take an oath to preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution and faithfully execute the laws of the land. Well, Mrs. Clinton has broken several statutes, including endangering the national security and her espionage agents abroad by putting classified documents at all levels of from confidential to special access programs on her server. And the president, who should have stopped this because he knew about it prior to this being discovered, he's to blame, too, for not exercising adequate supervision of a Secretary of State. Mr. Trump, you haven't even taken the oath of office, and you're going back on one of your key campaign promises. That does not sit well with many of the people that supported you. I didn't support you. I wasn't against you, and I told people, listen, I'm not a Democrat, I'm not a Republican, I don't trust either candidate, and I don't think Mr. Trump is going to change much. And he's confirming my prediction already. He's not changing anything. In other words, we have a set of rules, a laws, that apply to most Americans. But when it comes to the politically connected, the very wealthy, we have an other standard. And the laws don't apply, apparently, to Hillary Clinton. That does not sit well with the American people because Hillary Clinton is not above the law. And I said that this election will be about a verdict in the court of public opinion. Yes, Mr. Trump won the Electoral College, and that's what you have to do to become president. He has at least 290 Electoral College votes. And the race initially was close. Both got roughly around 60 million, but they're still counting votes in California 2 weeks after the election. They're still counting votes. Now, I heard a report. I haven't had time to check it out. That maybe Hillary Clinton won by not a million or two or 3 million, but 5, 6, or 7 million. Because they're still counting votes. California's vote count can go up, up, and up. How convenient. Now, it does cost money to count all the absentee ballots. I understand that. And when we already know the outcome. But what's going on here? What is the left doing, pushing right now? Well, Hillary Clinton won the popular vote. She should be the president. No, it doesn't work that way. And they know it. And so did Hillary Clinton, and so did Donald Trump. That's why they spend time, not in Texas, not in California, but swing states. Pennsylvania, Ohio, Michigan, Florida. Gee, those are all the states that Donald Trump spent a lot of time in and won. You see, many in the Trump campaign really didn't think they were going to win. And I don't think Donald Trump thought he was going to win. It was way too close to call. It didn't need to be close to call. But Donald Trump was not bold in his economic policy, so he was largely a two-issue candidate, namely illegal immigration and trade. Those were his signature issues. And I think he's more concerned about trade than anything else. Because it does have an impact on American jobs. I understand that. Although I'm a free trader, I also believe in fair trade, and where countries are violating the treaties by having either tariff or non-tariff barriers to trade, manipulating the currency, which is going on, but we're doing it as well, then you need to call out China for being a currency manipulator, and it should have been done years ago. This is not a new subject, and it's not like Donald Trump was the first to discover this. Many people were saying this, but we didn't have a president that didn't want to do this. You need leadership. You need courage. You need integrity. So I'm highlighting the fact that I have let's say alarm bells went off today. A wake-up call, not for me. I'm surprised that he did this so early, though. I'm not going to investigate or pursue a prosecution. You're not. Why not? I'm asking the why question. What changed your mind? You deserve to tell the American people. Answer that question, Mr. Trump. What changed your mind? You haven't seen the evidence. Neither have I. But the evidence is there. And Congress is pursuing it. The FBI is still pursuing it. What are you going to do? You're going to tell, let's assume for a minute, that Attorney General Jeff Sessions is confirmed. I think he will be confirmed, despite the lying lunatic left trying to convince people he's a racist. He's not a racist. He's actually pursued the Ku Klux Klan. But they don't play fair. They will lie, lie, and lie. The reason why they don't want Jeff Sessions, Attorney General, is he has been the leading advocate before Donald Trump ever arrived on the scene, trying to protect the American worker against the invasion for the last 16 years of tens of millions of illegal aliens that are doing a couple of things. They're making it difficult for people to find entry-level positions, and they are definitely flattening out increases in the average compensation or wage salaries of the American people. It's flat. Some years it's actually gone down. That's been the impact. So, yeah, the Democratic Party and many in the Republican Party, they don't want Jeff Sessions as Attorney General because they believe, and I believe, until I'm informed otherwise, that Jeff Sessions plans to enforce immigration law until Mr. Trump tells him not to, and at that point, I would not be surprised if Jeff Sessions resigned on the spot. Now, I don't want to jump to that, and I'm not jumping to that, but I'm alerting you. That's what's going on here. The Democratic Party strategy all along, because they're losing their voter base, as is the Republican Party, is to get illegal as well as legal immigrants, citizens, so they can vote, knowing full well anywhere from two-thirds, and I think that's really low. Probably more accurate, 3 out of 4 of them will vote for the Democratic Party, if they vote. But many of them will. So if you have a large number, whatever that number is, of illegal aliens, criminal illegal aliens in this country, and they get citizenship, whether it's this year, 5 years, or 10 years from now, once that happens, game, set, match, the Democratic Party will have a significantly higher, tens of millions higher, number of registered voters. And then they will win if they can turn out the vote. That's their game plan. It's a long-term strategy. They're not going to change. even though it screws the American worker. That's why many workers, blue collar, white collar, the color of the collar is not important, but American workers know what's going on. We've all heard the horror stories, whether it's Disney or a power company, where IT, information technology employees, have to train their replacements under this H-1B visa program. That should be eliminated. That's a scandal in and of itself. But the owner donor class, especially in Silicon Valley and other places, they want the H-1B visa program. Again, they want cheap, compliant labor. It's a racket, folks. It's a racket that needs to be stopped. And we have many Republicans, including some that I would support, except they're terrible on this issue, that want to increase it by 300 to 500%. Oh, yeah, they're really looking out for the American worker. No, they're not. They need campaign contributions. That's why the Republican Party, with their hands out, does the bidding of the owner-donor class. They make the big contributions, they make it to both parties, and they're somewhat indifferent why they prefer that all the illegals be made legal. If that doesn't happen, then they can live with the illegals that are here. Now, what am I leading up to? If you follow the debates closely, and if you even follow the language that Donald Trump is mentioning, namely criminal illegal aliens, I'm afraid what I suspected all along is going to happen. Donald Trump is going to go along with the Republican Party leadership. Remember, this is not new. It's called touchback amnesty. And we had a senator, Hutchinson, here. She's retired, thank God. She was for this. Send all the illegals home, and then they would come here legally by, we'd grant them a visa, and then over a period of time, they would become American citizens. It's called touchback amnesty. And that, I'm afraid, it truly is what Donald Trump wants to do. He'll go on and on and on about his big, beautiful wall, powerful wall with the door in it. And we need to control our U.S.-Mexican border. I don't care if it's a wall, a double fence with a road in it, helicopters flying over, drones, searchlights, sensors, cameras. You need to stop that. And that's what the American people want, and that's rather dramatic, and that's why Donald Trump got the nomination, and that's why Donald Trump got elected. And he also said, but you needed to follow him real closely, I'm going to insist we're going to deport all the illegal aliens that are here, and we're going to start with the felons, the criminal illegal aliens. Well, they're all criminal illegal aliens, Mr. Trump. You know it. I know it. Read the law. The definition of a criminal, someone that breaks the law. And we're talking misdemeanors, but more importantly, felonies. I'm afraid that I'm going to be proven right, that Donald Trump, I've said all along, he's not a conservative. The Republican Party has never been a conservative party, nor has the Republican Party been a classical liberal or a libertarian party. Donald Trump has been, most of his life, a liberal Democrat from New York City, from Manhattan. And that's what I think he still is. Now, liberal Democrats can agree with conservatives and libertarians on many issues. Not all issues, but many issues. And remember, the Republican establishment didn't want Donald Trump. Many conservatives didn't want Donald Trump. Many neocons definitely did not want Donald Trump. But many said, well, listen, there's no perfect candidate, and there isn't. He's very, very strong on a number of issues. Second Amendment, strong supporter. Pro-life, strong on immigration. Wants to make America great again. Wants to eliminate regulation. Wants to lower taxes. He's not a conservative. He's not perfect. But on many issues, he's night and day different from Hillary Clinton. So I'm voting for Donald Trump. And they did. And in the right states, they beat Hillary Clinton. Now he's president. You know the history. 2 weeks ago, we found out. A little later than now, but 2 weeks ago, we found out. And now, less than 2 weeks later, he's going back on, in my mind, one of his key promises. Not a program, but, and it's a general situation. He wanted to say, and did say, I'm the law and order candidate. I believe in the rule of law. I'm the law and order candidate. Good. If you're law and order candidate, enforce the law. Enforce the law on Hillary Clinton and Bill Clinton if they've broken the law, if the evidence supports that. Continue the FBI investigation, but now have your Justice Department, after you take the oath, convene a grand jury and subpoena witnesses to compel them to provide evidence. Because if they don't, or if they take the fifth, or they lie, they know they can be prosecuted. The power of subpoena, the power of the grand jury, is what the FBI did not have when it was investigating the Clintons. Most people, except attorneys, don't understand that. To say I'm disappointed in Donald Trump would be an understatement, but I'm not surprised. I take that back a little. I'm surprised he's done it now. I think, well, I'll speculate. There is now a full court press to try to delegitimize Donald Trump by what I call the lying lunatic left. And they buy because they're, I think they suffer from what I call mass anxiety disorder that's been fueled by reports by big lie media that Donald Trump and the people that he hires are white supremacist racist. They're throwing the whole deck of race cards down on Donald Trump and some of his people, including Stephen Bannon, as well as Senator Jeff Sessions. And there will be others. It doesn't matter who they are. It doesn't matter that they're not racist. They've been playing this card over and over again, and it shouldn't work, and it'll only work unless you call them out on it. And Trump has, on more than one occasion, at his rallies and on interviews. It's a broken record. What the left is doing is projecting what they are. They are the racist by doing this. They're dividing people. They're not uniting people. They're dividing people. That's what playing the race card is all about. It's a divide and conquer strategy. And it's to try to put anxiety as well as fear into their voter base. That we have a white nationalist, racist president. That's how bankrupt they are of ideas. They remember, this was, except for Donald Trump, Hillary Clinton did not run an issue-based campaign. It was largely, and this was her mistake, and I said, I don't think this is going to win, and it didn't. She raised a lot of money. She focused on raising a lot of money. That's why she went to California, because she knew she was going to carry California, but that's where the money's at. You go where the money's at. The money's in California, Hollywood, Silicon Valley. Collect a lot of money. Why did she need a lot of money? For negative campaign ads. So her campaign was largely negative campaign ads. She couldn't run on her record. She really couldn't run on the issues, which are not popular with the American people. So she tried to demonize, marginalize Donald Trump by lying about him and calling him a racist, a white supremacist. His supporters are the KKK and David Duke. And she lost. She deserved to lose. And I have no sympathy for her. She was, I think, the worst candidate that the Democratic Party has run in decades. I think you'd have to go back 100 years to find someone worse. Like I said, I thought Donald Trump was going to get the nomination and Donald Trump was going to win, and he did. And I also made a third prediction. Hillary Clinton will get a pardon between now and January 20th. From who? Barack Obama. Oh, the fix is in. Hillary Clinton is protected. And she is above the law. And she knew she was above the law because she had leverage on the President of the United States, Barack Obama. In turn, Barack Obama had leverage. Call it dirt, blackmail, whatever you like. The term of art is leverage. He has leverage on you. He has pictures, statements, recordings, videos, papers. They know where the bodies are buried. They know what happened. So they each had dirt on each other or leverage on each another. But Hillary, as well as Bill Clinton, have a problem. After January 20th, when Donald Trump is president, if Barack Obama has not given her a pardon, and when a pardon is given, it has to be accepted by the party. Now, someone had said to me, someone that is a lefty, by the way, a confirmed Clinton supporter, well, she hasn't been convicted of a crime. He can't give her pardon. Oh, yes, he can. You ever hear of Gerry Ford giving a pardon to Richard Nixon? He wasn't convicted of a crime. He had to resign. That's what's going on here, and that's the precedent. The president can pardon anyone he wants. And he better pardon Hillary Clinton. And Hillary Clinton better accept the pardon. Because what if Donald Trump decides after he is president and decides after Jeff Sessions looked at all the evidence, talked to the FBI, people in charge of the investigation, goes to the president and presents all the evidence and say, Mr. President, she's committed crime after crime after crime. Not only the email situation, the handling of government documents as well as classified documents, and public corruption. We must go forward. We can either do it within the Justice Department or follow up on your idea, Mr. President, and appoint an independent special prosecutor. The evidence is overwhelming. Yes, the political appointees of the previous Justice Department were protecting her. Are you going to let her get away with it and Bill Clinton get away with it, given that the evidence is overwhelming? Are you, Mr. Trump? You see, Mr. Trump could change his mind, might very well change his mind, might be planning to change his mind. This is an alternative scenario, if you will. I was surprised that he did this yesterday. But I can see where Donald Trump would pull something like this, hoping that Barack Obama would not give the pardon. In other words, you'll not have a double cross, you'll have a triple cross. That's why I say Barack Obama better give her a pardon, and Bill and Hillary Clinton or Hillary Clinton should better accept it, because that gets her off the hook. Now, you still have the staff that were in on this. They can all be prosecuted. And if I were them, I'd be very worried. And they've been very worried for 2 weeks because they thought they were going to be protected by who? Hillary Clinton and Loretta Lynch. Had nothing to worry about. The fix was in. It was rigged, to use a Trumpian term. They knew that they were committing crimes. See, what annoys the American people, and the American people know this, they're literally tens of millions of Americans that have been in the military, worked in intelligence, in law enforcement, and in various agencies of the government that have handled classified material from confidential all the way up to top secret and above. They know if it were anybody else, one, they would be not only reprimanded, they would be fired, terminated. Depends how serious the violation is. But if it was anywhere near comparable to what Hillary Clinton did, they were fired. They'll never get a job in government again. Most likely would face prosecution, a very high monetary fine, and most likely prison, or they would take a plea and they would have to be in probation for many, many years. And you, me, the average Joe, that's what would have happened. The American people resent deeply that Hillary Clinton believes she's above the law, and I think believes she's going to get away with it. She knows the fix is in. We'll see. Because if Barack Obama doesn't spend that political capital, remember, he'll do this towards the end of his term, as he's going out the door, more or less. Because the pardon power of the president is absolute. He can pardon anybody he wants. The only requirement is the person that he pardons has to accept it. Now, Hillary Clinton could make a mistake and not accept it. I don't think she'll do that. She'll grab that pardon. Yep, I accept it. It's get out of jail free. She never was prosecuted. She never admitted anything, but she accepted the pardon. She's finished politically. She can't run again. She knows that. She's too old, and she was defeated. They don't give you another chance. They might be thinking about it, scheming, but no. The American people have had it. The Democrats have had it with the Clintons. They should retire and play with their grandchildren, as should the Bushes, by the way. The American people don't want political dynasties. They don't want people that think they're better than everybody else. They don't like what the elites have been doing to this country, especially in the area of illegal immigration. They feel betrayed, and they have been betrayed. They've been lied to. They've been misled. Donald Trump was largely a protest vote. Even the people that voted for him said, listen, I can't vote for an establishment Republican, whoever it is. So I'll vote for Trump to send a message, a protest message to the Republican Party. You better get your act together because this is your last chance. And I think the Democratic Party, although there's still many of them are still in denial, have not got the message either, although a message was sent. The only reason why Trump won is many former Democrats, as well as people that never had voted for years, voted for Trump. His message on immigration and trade did resonate with the American people. It confirmed the evidence of their own eyes as to what was going on and the fact that the Democratic Party had sold him out. It sold out the unions. The union leadership might have supported Hillary Clinton, but the union membership, many of them did not. I would say the majority did not. They're not happy. Yes, the United States is very much divided, but who has really been losing? It's the Democratic Party and Barack Obama, and they know it in the House, in the Senate, and locally. People are leaving both parties, and if Donald Trump double-crosses the American people in the immigration area, he's done, and that would be unfortunate because I'm a big supporter of Mike Pence. That was my first choice for a candidate for president, but if Mr. Trump shows a pattern of breaking its promises. He's done. I think he's made a very bad mistake and gotten some very bad advice. I don't care who it's from. There is no reason for him to say, I'm not going to investigate Hillary Clinton. Absolutely no reason to do that, because Barack Obama most likely would have pardoned her. And then the investigation is stopped for him. For him only, though. Remember, there are other people here. Unless Obama is prepared to grant a pardon to all the people that were involved in this, including Bill Clinton, Hillary Clinton, and the close staff of Hillary Clinton. And maybe he is. I don't know. I don't know what the fix is. From what I understand, the Clintons and the Obamas are not close at all. They don't particularly care for each another, and they don't trust each another. But they're not suicidal. That's why Hillary Clinton will get the pardon. But if she doesn't, then the road is wide open for Jeff Sessions to expand the investigation and the prosecution of the Clintons, both the public corruption aspects as well as the security, national security, and destruction of government documents. Remember, she destroyed over 33,000 emails. They found over 2,000 classified documents on her server. Many governments got access to her server. She's compromised. Foreign governments had leverage on her. And for that reason alone, the Democratic Party should never have nominated her or elected her. In other words, foreign governments had dirt on them, on her, called leverage. And it's used all the time to stop people from talking and to stop people from doing what they should be doing. That's why this whole thing stinks. Something is not right here. It's not a new tone. Please don't insult my intelligence. We're talking law and breaking the law by the Secretary of State and a former President of the United States. I hope Mr. Trump reconsiders. And I'll give him time. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt up to a point. But I'm very, very disappointed in how he handled this, because I'm afraid he's going to do something a lot worse in the immigration area, and that's touchback amnesty. And if he does that, then it's going to blow up right in his face. Then he's going to get an education. Because while the people might support you now, Mr. Trump, if you break some of your fundamental promises, they will go after you with pitchforks and marching in the street, and the cheers will become boos. Just like the cheers have become boos for Barack Obama. When you lie to the American people and do it over and over again, they don't trust you. That's what happened to Barack Obama. That's what happened to Hillary Clinton. And if you follow their example, that will happen to you. You broke a promise. You need to reconsider it quickly. People make mistakes. You can correct your mistake. Now, on a more positive note, and I will play this clip, Mr. Trump has come out with his 100-day video, what he plans to do in the first 100 days. And I need to find it, and I will. Just give me a second. Here is Mr. Trump, President-elect Donald J. Trump's message to the American people.
Today, I would like to provide the American people with an update on the White House transition and our policy plans for the first 100 days. Our transition team is working very smoothly, efficiently, and effectively. Truly great and talented men and women, patriots indeed, are being brought in, and many will soon be a part of our government, helping us to make America great again. My agenda will be based on a simple core principle, putting America first. Whether it's producing steel, building cars, or curing disease, I want the next generation of production and innovation to happen right here on our great homeland, America, creating wealth and jobs for American workers. As part of this plan, I've asked my transition team to develop a list of executive actions we can take on day one to restore our laws and bring back our jobs. It's about time. These include the following. On trade, I am going to issue our notification of intent to withdraw from the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a potential disaster for our country. Instead, we will negotiate fair bilateral trade deals that bring jobs and industry back onto American shores. On energy, I will cancel job-killing restrictions on the production of American energy, including shale energy and clean coal, creating many millions of high-paying jobs. That's what we want. That's what we've been waiting for. On regulation, I will formulate a rule which says that for every one new regulation, two old regulations must be eliminated. So important. On national security, I will ask the Department of Defense and the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff to develop a comprehensive plan to protect America's vital infrastructure from cyber attacks and all other form of attacks. On immigration, I will direct the Department of Labor to investigate all abuses of visa programs that undercut the American worker. On ethics reform, as part of our plan to drain the swamp, we will impose a 5-year ban on executive officials becoming lobbyists after they leave the administration, and a lifetime ban on executive officials lobbying on behalf of a foreign government. These are just a few of the steps we will take to reform Washington and rebuild our middle class. I will provide more updates in the coming days as we work together to make America great again for everyone, and I mean everyone.
Well, that's a very positive message that I can fully support. I'm glad he did it, and I hope he continues giving updates like this. What I was amused about is right now the big lie media are complaining about, well, Mr. Trump hasn't given a press conference. Excuse me. Do they have amnesia? What about President Obama? Goes months without a press conference. And Hillary Clinton, during much of the campaign, not the final days, and it doesn't surprise me because in the final days, you're focused in on winning and giving. You got to be in a lot of places, and you don't have time or the patience for press conferences. Yes, I think Mr. Trump will give many press conferences, many more than definitely Barack Obama has given, and many, many times more than Hillary Clinton gave in her campaign. I'm amazed at their, how should I say this? They really think the American people are idiots. No, the American people are not listening to you anymore. That's your problem. They're not watching the television news. They're not listening to the news or switching it off on the radio. They have other sources to find out what's happening, and that drives them nuts. They don't have the monopoly that they used to have. And the American people know that they've lost really all their credibility. They were so far in the tank supporting Hillary Clinton that who would listen to them? You pay a price when you sell your soul, or in this case, your integrity, to one candidate. See, I have no problem when you're a news reporter, investigator. Note, I didn't say writing opinion pieces or giving commentary. I have no problem if you ask tough questions. You should ask tough questions, and they should be answered. And if they're not answered, ask it again. But that is quite different when you support a candidate and you ignore or distort or distract by going after the rival or opponent, in this case, Mr. Trump. Oh, they'll get their press conference, probably after Thanksgiving. I don't care if he gives a press conference now or after he's president. The more I think about it, he has a lot on his plate, plus we have the holidays. I tell the press the first press conference will be when Mr. Trump is President Trump. So you just have to wait. Is that clear? Now, I haven't gotten any feedback. I've gotten a little feedback, but yesterday I highlighted the fact that Mr. Trump had a meeting with the executives of the major television networks, as well as the anchors and some key people on their network. I don't know what was said. I wasn't invited. Many people would like to be a fly on the wall of that meeting. Now, many said it was a firing squad. I haven't heard anyone that was there breaking his word. It was an off-the-record meeting. That means what's said here is not to be repeated, certainly not be attributed to him or them. And it's somewhat of a test to see, well, who is going to be the weasel, the rat, that's going to tell it, leak it. They're not going to come out and say, well, I was there and here's what he said. No, they're going to, one way or the other, they're going to get what happened. I'm not thinking it was a firing squad. Now, Mr. Trump is perfectly capable of defending himself and criticizing the press, as I do. I call them big lie media. They largely peddle propaganda, try to propagate propaganda. They've long ago abandoned a rather short tradition of being accurate, objective news reporters. Just the facts. No, they're inserting and slanting the news. See, a lot of news you never hear about because it's killed. They send people out that believe in this. They get a story that's negative to the person that most of them are supporting, namely Hillary Clinton, before that Obama, and you don't hear it. That's one way they slant it. It never makes it into the paper, and it never makes it on the radio newscast, and it never makes it into the television news. And that's why people that are conscientious, after many, many years, finally throw up their hands and say, I'm out of here. And that's happened. But many of them aren't. Oh, that's okay. If this is going to hurt Hillary, I fine with me. Kill the story. Oh, this is going to be negative to Obama. Oh, I didn't see that. I'm glad you pointed that out. Kill it. That's what's going on. Or changing words. Or leaving out some of the information that's key. Context is very important. One of the games they play is to pull statements out of context. And everybody does it, unfortunately. I've seen it done on literally anyone, and it can be done. You just focus in on not what they said prior or after, just on what appears to be an outrageous statement or a damning statement, but they don't tell you what came before or after. And usually if you heard what came before or after, you wouldn't even gotten your attention. That's one of the tactics, what they do. So Mr. Trump has some legitimate complaints, and I'm sure he made his views known to the executives and their anchors, so they were more or less on the same page. Now, some have described this as a reset. Well, it might be a reset, but I don't think it's going to last very long. I doubt by the end of the week they will be honoring the reset. But they have something to think about. And what's that? Oh, you want access to the President of the United States? Oh, you can. I'll give you access as long as you tell the truth. You start lying, misrepresenting what I'm doing, you'll never get anywhere in the White House. And if that happens, you can't do your job. Access is key. And Barack Obama did it. You freeze people out. And the press was not treated very well in the Obama administration. Obama really didn't think much of the so-called big lie media, and neither do I. They've lost credibility with me and really many of the people that they report. Most people just want the facts, whatever the facts are. If they want opinion, there's talk radio and there are many, many shows on television where you can get whatever slant you want, from conservative to libertarian to liberal, progressive, socialist, communist. Maybe not communist, but there are some. And that's what people do, and that's a problem. It's called confirmation bias. You search for information that confirms your beliefs or your views. And that's what's going on. And who is ill-served? The American people are ill-served. You want an intelligent, informed electorate. But today, given what's really been happening over the decades, fewer and fewer people trust media today. I mean, the television networks, radio news, the newspapers, they simply don't trust them. They don't believe them. They don't trust them. It gets back to that trusted issue. They don't have it. And I want to make very clear, I'm a commentator. I give you my opinion. I'm not a newscaster. No, I give you my views, point of view, comments, opinions on breaking news stories, as I did today. I'm not a reporter. I'm not an investigative reporter. I'm not a, quote, journalist, and don't want to be, and would be insulted if you called me one. That's not what I'm about, and most people understand that. You'd be surprised, though. Many people can't make that distinction. I used to write articles for the Richland Chronicle. In very bold letters at the top, it would say opinion, opinion, opinion. About 99 out of 100 stories that I'd write were opinion pieces, yet we still had people complaining. Didn't you see at the very top it's an opinion piece? It's not labeled news, and he definitely does have an opinion. They don't like the opinion. Well, don't read it. Believe you me, I listen to talk radio, and I will shut it off like that if the talk show host goes on a tangent that I'm not interested in, or the caller's boring, or today it was Rush Limbaugh was handing out iPhones. If you called in and were halfway in, if you got through the screener, Mr. Snerdly, and I've talked to Mr. Snerdly at least twice many years ago. Didn't get through. Who cares? I don't bother with it. But today, if you had the patience dialed and you were lucky, you were going to get a free iPhone and a choice of colors and a choice of sizes. Well, after about 5 minutes of this, I went to Laura Ingraham, and I even turned her off. That's what you should do. Don't waste your time. Your time's valuable. And I'm sure many people were turning Rush off, and maybe even Laura. Now, Laura got on this because most talk show shows were covering the fact that Donald Trump said he wasn't going to investigate Hillary Clinton. It's not sitting well with the base, Mr. Trump. They're not going to abandon you yet, but you've signaled to them that, and I knew this all along, They're going to be watching you and listening very, very carefully. So I'm not surprised he came up with this very positive message. That does offset, and I think this was very deliberate, very intentional, but it didn't work. The American people, to their great credit and a long tradition, believe in the rule of law. They know that many criminals, crooks, get away with it. They also know that many people are connected politically and get away with crime. They don't like it and don't support politicians that enable it. And I think you've disappointed them, Mr. Trump, greatly by your statement. Or I should say, you didn't make the statement. You had someone else make it. I think that was also deliberate. It's not sitting well, and I think it's giving a lot of people pause. Not me. I stayed home. I didn't vote for Hillary Clinton. I didn't vote for you. I won't vote for another Republican or Democrat as long as I live. Let me qualify that. Yeah, if you could have a great conservative or libertarian or classical liberal candidate, yeah, I might consider a Republican candidate, but that's what it would take. Given the leadership of the Republican Party today, no way. Because I mentioned some of my hot button issues. My third one is, and this is the most important, and then I have to wrap it up. The number one problem facing the United States is out of control government spending by the federal government. And we don't have much time to get our house in order. That is the one area that neither Hillary Clinton nor Donald Trump really spoke to. And I think it was deliberate on both their parts. They don't have a clue how to balance the budget and really are not going to make much of an effort. Now, I'm willing to give any new president a honeymoon of upwards of a year to get his feet on the ground and learn the ropes, if you will, and there's a lot to learn, and get his team in place. But he has less than 2 years to implement the top three or four priorities of his administration, what he truly wants to accomplish. I don't think balancing the budget is on that list. There's no way you're going to grow out of it. If you think your tax cut, Mr. Trump, is going to give you 4, 5, 6%, and thereby increasing government revenues and therefore decreasing the deficit, I think you're whistling in the dark. The number one problem that impacts all departments, all programs, all areas of the federal government that's what they're involved in, is we're spending too much money. And you can't keep doing it. And you won't be able to do it. Eventually, you have a day of reckoning. The debt bomb goes off. It blows up. I think it'll be sometime between now and 2030, 2040 at the very, very latest. I think you're even aware that some people have estimated 2024. We don't have much time. And you're never going to make America great again. You're never going to grow the U.S. economy at 4, 5, 6%, which I think is attainable unless you have, first of all, you're taking every step you can to, within 4 years, have a completely balanced budget. I'm not optimistic. Now, I've given several programs on that, so I'm not going to beat that to death. And apparently you are going to introduce your economic team, and I'm really interested in who they are, and I certainly will have a follow-up show when you do that. I heard maybe either tomorrow or after the Thanksgiving. I suspect it'll probably be after, but he could surprise me. That'll give me a better sense of where we're going. Donald Trump's tax plan, why definitely in the right direction, I simply don't believe is bold enough. I think you need to go to a broad-based consumption tax along the lines of the fair tax. And Donald Trump has given no indication by the fact that he didn't come out to support it. Now, Mike Pence understands it, I think would support it, but he's not president. So maybe Mike Pence in the next year or two can convince the president. That would make America great again, but you still have to deal with the number one problem, and that is government spending is out of control. And if your first 2 years, your deficits are over $500 billion, I think they will be, then you'll fail. That's what you need to look at. What is going to be the deficit in 2017 and 2018? We'll know that by this time next year, the 2017 deficit, and then right before election time, we'll know what the deficit is for 2018. And mark my words, if it's above $500 billion, and I think it will be, you're not going to succeed. You need to dramatically, quickly grapple with budgetary issues. In other words, you need to do the heavy lifting, and you need to provide leadership, because Congress is just a bunch of bought and paid for politicians that are followers. They're looking for leadership, and if you don't provide it, then no one else is going to provide it. So I wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving. I hope to have a show tomorrow morning. I'm playing that by ear. It looks like the board is more or less open for tomorrow, which gives me some flexibility because I have to come in, prepare the show, and then give it because the studio will be closed definitely after 2 o'clock tomorrow. So I wish you all a very happy Thanksgiving, and now America the Beautiful.
My name is Raymond Thomas Pronk, the presenter of the Pronk Pop Show. Views expressed on this show are my own, unless otherwise stated, and do not reflect the opinion of KDUX Web Radio, Richland College, or the Dallas County Community College District. You are listening to KDUX Web Radio, broadcasting live from Richland College in Dallas, Texas, with a voice of Richland College. You are listening to the Pronk Pop Show, presented by Raymond Thomas Pronk, the People's Paladin Pronk, propagating faith, family, friends, freedom first. Broadcasted by Renaissance Radio, Radiating Reason, and KDUX Web Radio. Podcasted by PronkPops.wordpress.com and KDUXWebRadio.wordpress.com.